Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network, and I have a great show planned for all of you today. My guest will be Dr. Tom O'Brien. He's the author of The Autoimmune Fix, and he's an internationally recognized speaker and writer on chronic disease and metabolic disorders. And he'll be joining me in a little while. But first, I want to talk to you about some things going on in and around the news, some ways you can take action, and, of course, I want to share my weekly recipe with you. First, what can I say about what's going on in our political world? I feel like I'm living in a soap opera, and every day I wake up to see what the latest reality show is putting out for us today. On Tuesday, Vice President Pence broke the tie, and we officially appointed Betsy DeVoe as our unqualified education secretary. But it's comforting to know that there will be guns in schools to prevent grizzly bears from getting in. Who knows what they'll be teaching in the schools, but at least there will be guns there to protect us from grizzly bears. So that's comforting. We're waiting to see what happens with Pruitt to see if he gets approved for the environmental protection, lead up our environmental protection agency. He's completely unqualified. When he was attorney general in Oklahoma, he sued the EPA. He's a climate denier. He totally does not support anything the EPA does, and putting him in charge of it will certainly break it down and cap its funding and really be horrible for the environment. So, our new president is really moving right along with his agenda to disrupt everything that we've worked so hard for. It's really, really scary. I mean, he's gone as far as to even criticize our whole judicial system. He's put a ban out on immigration, and thank God a judge put a halt on it, but it's a temporary halt, and he is doing everything he can to undo that. And so it is just really frightening. And yet, I have to say, I am glad to see all the work that is being done on the ground level. Organization after organization are coming together, mobilizing grassroots people to take a stand, call your senators, call your congressmen, show up at rallies. This past week, I showed up at Senator Schumer's rally outside his Long Island office. There were rallies going on all across the state in front of all 8 of Senator Schumer's offices. And in Long Island, where there's usually anywhere from 5 to 20 people showing up these rallies, we had hundreds. There was probably 300 people there. And it felt great. It really felt great. It felt like, people coming together from, the Sierra Club and Food and Water Watch and Long Island Progressive Coalition and many other organizations joining forces. And when we join forces, we are more powerful. And that's what we have to do. It's really scary to see what's going on with the pipelines. We thought the Keystone Pipeline was over. We thought we had defeated the Dakota Access Pipeline, but those are all gearing up again and getting going again. So we really have to stand vigilant to try to prevent the pipelines. In addition, there is the Line 3 pipeline, which we actually haven't even heard much about. And the Line 3 pipeline is one that that has been protested in Minnesota by the people of northern Minnesota and the water protectors living there. And it's looking like Enbridge is moving forward with that as well. I mean, it was canceled at one point, and it looks like it's moving forward again. So, the organization Honor the Earth is really fighting to try to raise awareness about that. This is a $7.5 billion project, the largest one that Enbridge has ever undertaken. And it would be carrying over 760,000 barrels a day of crude oil. And as we know, and as research has shown, all these pipeline lines leak. There's no such thing as a pipeline that doesn't leak. They all leak, and they are all polluting and destroying our planet and contaminating our water. And it's just really, really serious. So we need to stand up together to fight these pipelines and to really push towards renewable energy. And I know in the face of Pruitt and our current political stance in Washington, it's really going to be a tough fight. But we have to do it, because if we don't do it, it definitely won't get blocked. And we need to work together to make that happen. So please, please do what you can, stand together, and let's make this a fight like our country's never seen before. So anyway, I want to talk to you about some things going on in and around the city. This weekend, very exciting, is the Long Island Regional Seed Consortium's annual Long Island Seed Swap. And this is an opportunity to come together with other farmers and growers and exchange seeds. You know, I'm a chair of our local Slow Food chapter, Slow Food North Shore. But Slow Food in general has a wonderful, wonderful campaign that's called Arc of Taste. And it's really trying to preserve biodiversity and rare crops that are in danger of extinction. And so this is an opportunity to bring back some of those rare seeds and to find varieties of things that are growing that you might not even know about. There used to be over 200 varieties of tomatoes and pumpkins and squashes and you name it. And we now see just a few different kinds, and it's really kind of sad. And so these varieties that we're trying to preserve through the Arc of Taste will be represented at this seed swap as well. So come on down. There's lots of presentations, talks, panel discussions, and, of course, different information booths, as well as a free seed swap. So that's at Suffolk Community College in Riverhead this weekend on February 11th from 12 to 4. And you can go to the Long Island Regional Seed Consortium's website to find out more information about that. Also, weekend is the New York Oyster and Beer Festival, and that is taking place at the Tunnel on 11th Street and 28th in West Chelsea. Tickets sell out for that, so if you're interested in going, definitely buy your tickets ahead of time. Also, if you're interested in biodynamic farming, Hawthorne Valley, which is a wonderful local organic and biodynamic farm up in the Hudson Valley, they are having a week-long intensive starting February 19th. So go on to Hawthorne Valley Farms website, find out more about that. Although all these links to all these events and going-ons are on my website as well at iegreen.com. The weekend of February 25th, the Benner Family Farm out on Long Island in Setauket, they're having a maple sugaring day. And there will be demonstrations seeing how maple sugaring is actually done. So that should be really exciting if you are interested in that. March 12th, I want you all to save the date for the 4th Annual Food and Film Feast. This is something that Slow Food North Shore, I Eat Green, and the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington put together. And it's an evening of short documentary films paired with food that is highlighted in the film and a speaker. And one thing we're going to be doing this this year, which I think is pretty exciting, is we're going to have two salads presented. We're going to be showing a film on hydroponic farming and organic farming, and then having two different salads, one that's hydroponically grown, one that's organically grown, and have a taste test and discuss it and talk about the differences between hydroponically grown and organic. What's the difference? Can hydroponic be organic, or do you need soil and sunlight in order to call something organic? So we're going to open up discussions. It's always a lively event, and it does always sell out. So stay tuned for that. I'm not sure if tickets have gone on sale yet, but you can get them directly from the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington. So watch for that. March 12th and 13th is also the annual Just Food Conference, which takes place up at Teachers College, Columbia University. That's always a wonderful event. So, you know, you can go to that during the day and then come to our food and film feast in the evening. Also, watch the calendar, March 31st. There's going to be a TEDx at Adelphi University, which is a wonderful event. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the TED Talks, and TEDx are independent talks that are sponsored by TED Talks. And there will be over 12 speakers throughout the day, great discussion, panel discussions as well, at Adelphi University. Very reasonable to attend, so go on to their website to get tickets for that. And April 1st, Food Tank is having a Boston Food Tank Summit. They just had their Washington, D.C. one. A few months ago, they had a Chicago one. So these Food Tank Summits are really wonderful events. They have over 30 speakers, I think, during the day. And lots of opportunities to network and come together. A wonderful lunch is provided. And this one will be taking place at Tufts University at the Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy. So I didn't get to go to the Food Tank one in D.C. this year because it was the weekend following the Women's March, and I didn't want to go down to D.C. twice. So I'm going to try to go to this Food Tank one up in Boston. So I hope to see some of you there. And please, everybody, save the date for the People's Climate March, April 29th. It will take place in Washington, D.C., and there will be sister marches across the country, certainly one in New York City. So save that date and plan on attending. We need to really make this even bigger than the Women's March. And the People's Climate March a few years ago was tremendous. Took place in New York City. And this one's geared to even be bigger. So save the date for that. Okay, so now let me share with you my recipe before I invite Dr. Tom O'Brien on, the author of The Autoimmune Fix, to talk to us about his new book. So my recipe this week, I'm calling Medicine in a Bowl. It's a miso soup recipe, and it is just loaded with ginger and garlic. And last week I was a little under the weather, and I just made a big bowl pot of this, and I just ate it every day. And I have to say, I did not get as sick as all these other people I knew who were getting sick. It really was amazing. It's like a vegetarian chicken broth equivalent, although I think it's better. So this pot makes 4 servings. It only takes 15 minutes to make, so it's really quick. So you're going to fill a large pot with 8 cups of filtered water. You're going to add 6 large cloves of garlic and 5 2-inch pieces of ginger. So you're really adding a lot of garlic and ginger to that. And bring that to a boil and just get the garlic and ginger going. Meanwhile, you're going to cut up an onion, sliced into crescent moon shapes, 1/2 a bunch of organic broccoli cut into florets, 2 cups of mixed greens, and I had baby spinach, kale, Swiss chard, bok choy. I used 1/4 cake of organic sprouted tofu that I cut into small little pieces, 2 large teaspoons of miso per bowl. And I don't add that to the big pot of soup because I don't want the miso to boil. So I just add 1 teaspoon or 2 teaspoons for each bowl, and I mix it up in the bowl right before I'm eating it. And I used 1 cake of organic brown rice and quinoa ramen. And, you know, I like to have some noodle in the soup, too, just so that it's more filling as a main course, because, like I said, that's what I ate all day long. So you have that pot going already with the 8 cups of filtered water with the garlic and ginger going. Reduce the heat to a simmer and add the onions and the tofu and let that cook. And in another pot, you're going to boil up the ramen. That only takes 3 minutes to boil, according to my directions. Just follow whatever the directions say. You want it to be a little al dente. You're not going to put the noodles into the soup. You're going to keep those separate, and you also add those to each bowl as you need it. If you leave it in the soup, it gets soggy and mushy, and it's not good. So you're going to just leave those noodles on the side and run them under cold water after they cook so that you stop the cooking process. To the bowl of soup broth, you're going to add the broccoli and the greens and just let those cook just for a few minutes until they get really bright green in color. Then turn the pot of soup off. Put the 2 teaspoons of miso in the bowl. Add a ladle of the broth and try to avoid getting the greens and the tofu. Just try to get the broth. Ladle it into the bowl and then dissolve the miso into that broth. So just, you know, with just one ladle's worth of hot broth, mix the miso really well till it dissolves. Then you're going to add another ladle of the broth with the vegetables and tofu. Add the ramen to the bowl. And if you like your soup really hot, you might want to take 1 serving's worth of the ramen and pour a little hot water over it just to heat them up, drain it, and then add it to your soup so it doesn't cool your soup down too much. And then that's it. It is just so delicious and so full of nutrients and health-giving remedies that it's just wonderful. So make that soup if you're feeling under the weather, and let me know how you like it. And now it's my pleasure to introduce all of you to Dr. Tom O'Brien. As I said before, he's the author of the new book, The Autoimmune Fix, and he is an internationally recognized speaker and writer on chronic disease and metabolic disorders. And he organized the Gluten Summit that took place in November 2013, and he's been working as a functional medicine practitioner for over 30 years and also teaches at the Institute for Functional Medicine. So it's my pleasure to introduce all of you to Dr. Tom O'Brien. Tom, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Great. So I loved your book. It's really packed with so much information. And so I'm going to try to, talk to you about it and try to share some of this information with my listeners because it's, really important, good stuff. And I think so many of us deal with aches and pains that we really just don't have to deal with. And I think we don't realize it. We just kind of, accept it as we're getting older and, these are just new aches and pains that come with age. And in your book, you say you don't really have to accept that. So let's start by talking about what is an autoimmune condition, and how is that connected to inflammation? Can we start there?
Yes. Yes, of course. As someone wants to get healthier and they're looking for a way of telling how healthy am I? I feel pretty good. I get up in the morning. I'm doing okay. I'm getting through the day all right. My energy's okay. If we're thinking that way, we really want to have a dashboard. Just like driving your car, if you look at the dashboard, is there enough gas? Is the engine overheating? We need markers to tell, is our body functioning adequately or functioning as well as it can? And they're called biomarkers. And the biomarker, the big kahuna biomarker in our body that tells us whether we're functioning well or not, irrespective of how you feel. Because by the time you feel something, you're pretty far down the path of a disease by the time you feel it. So the biomarker is, what's your immune system doing? Mrs. Patient, your immune system is the armed forces in your body. It's there to protect you. There's an Army, a Navy, an Air Force, a Marines, a Coast Guard. We call it IgG, IgA, IgE, IgM. They're biomarkers. They're the gauges on the dashboard. Is your body trying to protect you from something? And when your body is having to work overtime to protect you, that's when you start developing antibodies to your own tissue. That's the autoimmune spectrum, when your body is trying to protect you from something. And we'll talk about what it is it's trying to protect you from. But we develop elevated levels of antibodies to our own tissue. And it might be your thyroid, it might be your brain, and you don't feel it. No one gets Alzheimer's in their 60s or 70s. Scientists have known for years that you get Alzheimer's in your 30s and 40s. It just takes decades of killing off brain cells before there's enough brain cells killed off that you start getting symptoms. And it progresses aggressively once it starts going. But it starts years and years before you feel the symptoms. That's true with your brain, with your heart, with your thyroid, with your liver, with your muscles, with your bones. No one wakes up with osteoporosis. It's occurring over years and years and years. So the dashboard in your body that can tell you, is my system fighting something and killing off my own tissue right now as collateral damage? The dashboard is whether or not you're on the autoimmune spectrum. And the book identifies this. It talks about how can you tell, what are the triggers that set it off, but I feel fine. Everybody feels fine until they have a heart attack. And then all of a sudden, as if they got a heart attack today, it was building up for years. There had to be triggers. So the autoimmune spectrum is when your body, your immune system is killing off your own tissue as collateral damage trying to protect you.
Uh-huh. And how do you test to find out where you are on that autoimmune spectrum?
Oh, there's a simple blood test that can tell. There's a blood test that looks at 24 different tissue antibodies, 6 to your brain, 3 to your heart, your lungs, your liver, your bones, your adrenal glands, your reproductive system. I'll give you an example. A 44-year-old guy came in, and his father had died at 44 of a massive heart attack. His two older brothers had died in their early 40s of massive heart attacks, and he was the last male in the family. His last brother died when he was 28, so he went to a cardiologist who put him on a statin drug as a preventive to keep his cholesterol way down. 16 years later now, he comes in, and he's the picture of health. His body fat is 16%. That means that he's exercising regularly. He looks to be in really good shape. He eats very well. He never eats junk. All of his blood tests every year that he has done, his doctors tell him he's the picture of health. He's as healthy as a horse. And But he said, I heard about your blood test. I want to get this test done. So we did the blood test on him. All three antibodies to his heart were sky high. Sky high. Killing off his heart tissue, but he felt fine because of his lifestyle and his diet. Every other tissue in his body was working fine, but his immune system was attacking his heart. And he said, why is that? And I said, I don't know. Let's find out. So it turns out he had elevated antibodies to wheat and to milk. So wheat and dairy. We took wheat and dairy out of his diet completely, not just mostly, completely out of there, didn't give him any vitamins. He's already on a nice vitamin regimen. 6 months later, he comes back, and the antibodies to his heart are down to normal. He said, you saved my life. And I said, well, it's the research that that all these scientists have been doing for years to identify all this. But likely this stopped the mechanism that killed your father and your brothers. It was a genetic vulnerability to attacking your heart, and the trigger for him was wheat and dairy. For somebody else, it might be toxic chemicals. For somebody else, it's something in the air. You talked about these oil pipelines and that all oil pipelines leak.
Yeah.
The World Wildlife Fund just published a study less than 3 months ago in conjunction with two major universities that shows there has been a 57% reduction of all wildlife on the planet since 1970. The average is 57% of everything that lives on the planet is gone. It's been killed off in the last 46 years. 57%. And the percentages are higher near fresh water. Why is that? Because they drink the water. And if we were drinking the water coming out of the streams and the rivers by our homes, we'd get cancer. And we wouldn't be able to reproduce also. We just filter the water. So these toxic chemicals that the animals are getting high exposures to, we're just getting in minute dosages. But that's what's happening to all of us. Just recently, a paper came out that showed for the first time in over three decades, the lifespan of a male in America has gone down. Every year, it's been going up and up and up as technology's improved. Just this last year, it went down. Not very much, only a tenth of a year, but it's going down. That's because we are getting exposed to more of these toxic chemicals. The immune system tries to protect you from these toxic chemicals. And the antibodies to these toxic chemicals have something called molecular mimicry, that some of our own tissue looks like some of these toxic chemicals. So the antibodies to these chemicals attack your heart, or they attack your brain, or they attack your thyroid, or they attack your bones. It just depends on where your genetic weakness is. And so you develop these autoimmune mechanisms that eventually kill off your tissue, kill off your tissue, kill off your tissue, until you start getting symptoms. I've never been an alarmist, but as I read these studies and as I wrote this book, the book has over 300 studies that we reference. And as you read these studies, you just do an OMG again and again. You say, oh, my right. God, this can't be right. It is right. It is right. The New England Journal of Medicine published a paper that said for the first time in the history of the human species, for the very first time ever for humans, children born today have a shorter projected lifespan than their parents. They're going to get sick at earlier ages, get diagnosed with diseases at earlier ages, and die at an earlier age than when their parents die. We have to wake up. We can't any longer just, well, I'm going to grow a better form of tomato. You know, I'll get some seeds to grow a better form of tomato. Now, that's wonderful, and I'd like to go to that event if I were in New York because I want those seeds. I'd want those seeds, but it's not enough. We have to wake up to what's happening to our planet. That some scientists say we're beyond the scope of fixing the problem, that it's crossed a line and it can't be fixed. And my answer to that is that Einstein said it, that the problems we've created today cannot be solved with the same level of thinking that created the problem. We have to up our game. We have to up our game in how we think about this. And to up our game as to how we think about this, we have to understand the scope of the problem. And to understand the scope of the problem, you have to read my book so that you understand what's the dashboard of your body and how can you tell how bad it is for you right now, which then will give you the motivation when you say, wait a minute, I've got elevated antibodies to my brain right now. I feel fine. That test can't be right. No, it's right. Do it again. Okay, we'll do it again. You do it again, it comes back with the same answer. And then you realize, oh, my God, my body, my brain's being killed off right now, or my heart is being killed off. Why is that? And then you start exploring why. You'll have the motivation to figure out why once you understand that you're on the pathway for dementia or Alzheimer's or MS or heart disease. Once you see that that's happening to you, it'll give you the motivation to up your game so that you put time into this to figure out what the heck do I have to do to get myself or my children healthier? What do I have to do? But we have to wake up.
What percentage would you say of the population is on this spectrum? Is it the majority of people or is it a minority of people?
Oh, it's the vast majority. When we run these tests, somewhere between 6 and 7 out of every 10 people come back with elevated antibodies to their own tissue. You just have to be thorough in doing the test. But when you do, you see, oh, my God, look how frequent this is. Look how frequent this is. This is most people are on this spectrum now. They're on the spectrum and they don't know it. They're killing off their own brain cells or they're killing off their own heart cells or they're killing off their own muscle cells and they don't know it, or their thyroid. So many people have thyroid disease right now, and they don't know it. They just think, well, I'm getting old. You know, I'm getting tired. Well, really, how old are you? Well, I'm 38. No, that's not supposed to happen. No. So it's most people. At this point, it's most, 6 to 7 out of 10 that do these tests find out, oh, my God, look, I'm on this spectrum. Oh, my God.
And so what foods are the most typical? Is it wheat and dairy that you find, or are there other ones as well that you find are problems with the immune system?
Well, as we explain it in the book, when you do the right type of testing, the comprehensive testing, you see that the most common food that people are sensitive to is wheat. Wheat and dairy, the top 8, wheat, dairy, eggs, soy, corn. It's not that you have to avoid all of these foods. You just have to check. You have to check thoroughly to see whether or not you're on that spectrum. And I emphasize you have to check thoroughly. That's the problem, is checking thoroughly. That most of the tests today...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Most of the tests that are done today are the tests that were developed in the 1980s and the 1990s, that they were really good in their day, but they're not as comprehensive as they need to be. And so on my site, and I think as a gift to all of your listeners, if they go to my website, the website is thedr.com, thedoctor.com. And if they go to the website, there's a handout that they can get. Just go to articles, and the handout is called The Conundrum of Gluten Sensitivity, Why the Tests Are Often Wrong. And I wrote this handout to talk about the testing, and I put the references in there. You take this handout to your doctor. When you read it, it'll make sense to you. Army, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Navy, all that'll make sense to you. And then when the doctor reads it, and there's all the references of the studies, so they see, oh, gosh, I didn't know this. This is very good information. Thank you, Mrs. Patient. And if your doctor doesn't say that, and they said, oh, this is nonsense, and you know, they're trying to protect that they know what they're doing when they've never been exposed to this information before, you have to add a new doctor to your team. It's just information that doctors haven't seen. I'll give you one example of that, and that is everyone knows if you're afraid your child has a reaction to foods or something, you take them to an allergist. Allergists do pinprick tests, and the pinprick tests on your back, They put a little bit of a food substance, some molecules of a food substance under your skin, and they see, do you have a reaction? If you have a reaction, that means that you have an allergy to that food. Now, that is looking for IgE. That's the Air Force. And that test came out in the 1950s. It's a very good test. Now, if it comes back positive, you got a problem. But if it comes back negative, your doctor says, no, there's no problem with dairy. See, a test came back negative. They can't say that. All they can say with today's science is, Mrs. Patient, we've run the IgE allergy test, and the Air Force is not called out right now. Well, what do you mean, doctor? Well, there's also an Army and a Marines and a Coast Guard and a Navy, IgA, IgG, IgM, IgD. Well, did we check those? No, we didn't check those. We just checked the Air Force. Well, why are we only checking the Air Force, doctor? Well, that's the way I was trained, and you know, we've been doing this for 60 years, and this is the test for allergies. But isn't this the test for one type of allergy, doctor? Well, yes, it is, but that's the one that I do. Well, can we check the other ones? Well, it doesn't. It's a waste of your money to do that. They just don't have an answer. Now, and so IgE is a very good test. It's a useful test to do, but it's only one component of what you have to check. We didn't know that in the 1950s. We know that now. But unfortunately, most of our allergists are only doing IgE testing. Once again, it's a very good test, but it's not comprehensive. So you need to do more. And that handout will explain that to you. There's so much to tell you, and I know we've only got a few minutes here. I just want to give you a taste so that you say, wow, this guy seems to know what he's talking about. Get the book. When you get the book, you'll read the book, and you'll just do, OMG, oh, my God, again and again and again and again. That this is 30 years of study on my part, and we have to change the direction of where we're going. You have to up your game in terms of how you think about being healthy. No longer can you apply the principles that you applied 10 years ago. It's a different world today. We have so many more toxins and in so many different venues that are approaching us and exposing us here that we have to up our game.
Uh-huh. Well, let's take a couple-minute break, and when we come back, I actually want to talk about where people would go to get that test, because obviously the same way you'd like to come to my seed swap out here on Long Island. I'm sure people would love to see you, but everyone can't get to you. So when we come back, maybe you can share how people go about getting that test and, of course, getting your book. So everyone, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Dr. Tom O'Brien, and you're listening to Bhavani at IE Green. Be right back.
It's not liberal. It's not conservative. It's progressive. The truth that empowers. Right here on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Have you ever listened to Anthony Robbins, watched the movie called The Secret, or read about the power of positive thinking from the perspective of any of the many fine authors who have written about the subject? They all focus on the law of attraction, which governs every second of every life of every person in the universe. Like attracts like, and everything you do, feel, and think about as a regular way of being determines your life experiences. PRN's new show, LOA Today, explores all aspects of this magnificent law of the universe every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Join hosts Walt Thiessen and Yuona June Thiessen as we explore the law of attraction each week. That's LOA Today, Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. here on PRN.
South of the border.
I'm Johnny Mueller, host of The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. Heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show where you'll learn how to work, play, do business, or retire and live the life of Riley. Yes, an amazing number of first world people like you are jumping off the stateside treadmill and voting with their feet. And surprise, surprise, they're finding there really is an American dream. But it's not in Seattle, Milwaukee, or Cleveland anymore. It's down here in Latin America. So be sure to tune in to The Expat Files to find out how you can live the good life on a measly Social Security check.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm here with Dr. Tom O'Brien, the author of The Autoimmune Fix, talking about autoimmune diseases and conditions and how to prevent them. So, Tom, right before we took our break, I wanted to ask you about the blood test. You said that tests 24 different conditions that could be causing an autoimmune situation. Can you tell us about this test and where one gets it? Because I know when I get a test from the doctor, you know, blood test, it certainly doesn't have those kind of tests included.
Right. No, it wouldn't. The blood test that everyone gets done nowadays looks to see if you have markers of outright disease. That's an end-stage test, looking for diabetes, high cholesterol, things like that. Those are end stages, and it's very good tests to do. They're not what we call functional tests. And so the kind of test that you want to have done is this test. They're all listed on my website. You can get all the information on them. My website is thedr.com, thedoctor.com. Just don't spell the word doctor out. And this test looks at 24 different tissue antibodies. And you look to see what is it that my body is fighting right now. And when you do that test, it'll come back and it surprises everyone when they see what their body is dealing with.
Uh-huh. And is this the type of blood test can you get? Is it covered by insurance, or let me guess, it's not?
It is not, although some patients have had their expenses reimbursed. It depends on your policy, whether or not insurance will cover that one. But usually it's not. But this is the kind of test where someone says, you know what, this makes a lot of sense to me, and so I'm going to do this, especially if you have a health condition that you can't quite figure out what's going on, or if there's a family history of brain deterioration in the family, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, anything like that. You want to look and see, is there a mechanism going on right now that's killing off my own brain tissue?
Mm-hmm. And if someone feels like they can't afford to do that blood test, would it be worth them just going on an autoimmune preventative type diet where they just cut out wheat and dairy or gluten and dairy just to, would there be a way for them to know if it's working?
Oh, yes, of course. And the book talks all about that. The book talks about, well, I can't afford this blood test. What do I do and how do I do it? So we give you guidelines. We give you a 3-week protocol to try with lots of recipes and lists of things to avoid. For example, some people are sensitive to wheat and they just don't know it. They don't know it because they feel fine when they eat it. That's because it's not affecting their gut. For some people, it affects their heart. That's why there are studies from Mayo Clinic reversing heart disease called cardiomyopathy just by putting people on a wheat-free diet. So if the heart is the weak link in your chain, you know, you pull at a chain, it always breaks at the weakest link. It's at one end, the middle, the other end, your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidneys, wherever your genetic weak link is, that's where the chain's going to break. So if you have an allergy to wheat or to dairy or to eggs, it may not affect your gut. It may affect your heart, or it may affect your thyroid, or it may affect your brain. But if it affects your brain, you don't feel it in your gut when you eat the food. But what happens is you may develop antibodies that slowly kill off your brain tissue. And it can be from a soy allergy or a wheat allergy or an egg allergy. And it's killing off your brain tissue, killing off your brain tissue, killing off your brain tissue. Until you're joking, you know, I'm getting old. I can't remember the way I used to. Ha ha. Oh, really? How old are you? Well, I'm 42. No, that's not supposed to happen. You know, but we accept it as getting old. But it may be your immune system, because of collateral damage, is killing off your own tissue. So we have to up our game in how we think about our health. You have to ask different questions than the questions you may have asked 15 years ago, because it's a different world now. It's a very different world. 1 million kids a year in the U.S. are being diagnosed with autism. 1 million. When I came out in practice in 1980, it was one child out of every 4,850. Now, the CDC tells us by the year 2026, that's 9 years from now, it'll be one boy in every two is on the autism spectrum. One out of every two boys. I came out and practiced one out of every 4,800. What's happened in the last 35 years, 36 years? What are we doing as
so
a culture?
Scary. Can you imagine?
It's very scary.
Babies born are going to have autism. I can't imagine. How can we take care of that many people? You know.
Exactly. Who's going to pay for this? Who's going to take care of these kids? You're absolutely right. Those are rational questions to be asking. Just look at the science. Get your head out of the sand. Stop thinking, well, I'm doing okay, you know, and I only eat whole wheat bread. I don't eat white bread, so I'm being healthier. Or I only eat French fries once a week. You know, you can't rationalize like that anymore and fool yourself. You know, if you consciously choose and say, well, I know these deep fried fats aren't good for me, but I'm going to eat this once a week. Okay, if you consciously make that choice, but don't fool yourself thinking you're being healthy when you model this kind of behavior, especially with your kids. You want healthier kids to take care of you when you get older? We have to teach our kids how to take care of themselves.
Right. And I always talk about modeling as being the most important thing. You know, as a Steiner teacher, you know, they talk about kids learn from role modeling. Their first 5 years is the most important, and what they see is what they really goes into their being.
You're absolutely right.
Now, one thing I found interesting in your book is you actually talked about gluten not only in foods that we ingest, but also in the environment and in cosmetics. Can you talk about that a little bit? And is gluten that's transmitted through the skin or the lungs, does it affect us the same way?
Oh, sure. It's called Baker's asthma. Every doctor knows about Baker's asthma, and it's when you breathe wheat and you get asthmatic symptoms. Well, that's just if the weak link in your chain is your lungs. If it's your brain and you breathe in wheat, you don't know. You don't feel the symptoms. So you really can't say, you know, you don't know. So it's cosmetics, it's beer, it's food, you know, foods in general. It's our shampoos. There are lists on our website. They're all free, you know, and they're in the book. And you look at what are the sources of wheat exposure that I have in my life right now? And how do I get rid of these things if you test positive to wheat, if you do? And so you just need to check. You just need to check thoroughly to see, is that happening to you?
Right. You know, I've been sharing different people's philosophies on diets and foods for years now. And, you know, one that's come up a lot is a vegan diet, you know, plant-based diet. And, you know, doctors, you know, talk about people's resistance to wanting to make these lifestyle changes because they're so, they think they're so drastic. And I love the example from the book, from the movie Forks Over Knives, you know, where I don't remember if it was Colin Campbell or Eisenstein, you know, talks about, you know, how people think, you know, going to a plant-based diet is so drastic, but cutting open your chest and breaking it apart and, you know, taking veins from your legs and putting it in a jar, that's not drastic. You know, open heart surgery is not considered drastic, but changing your diet is. How do you
exactly
deal with people who are talking about, you know, how can I possibly give up wheat or dairy, you know, as being so life-altering? Can you talk a little bit about people's resistance and how do you confront that or guide people?
Well, you know, earlier in my career, I was kind of an evangelist wanting everyone to do what I say just because I read the science and I know the impact of what's happening. And now I'm at this stage. My goal is here's the information presented without opinion. Here is what the scientists are telling us. Here's what I would suggest you do about it, but do what you want. Once you know the information, it's up to you. But just don't be fooled anymore. You know, you've got to, how do I say this? Accurate information allows you to make the choices that are best for you. Without accurate information, you don't have the opportunity to make the choice that you might make if you had more accurate, comprehensive information. So I just want to make sure that you, the listener, have the right information to make choices for yourself and your family. You want to eat ding-dongs and ho-hos and carry a spare tire around your midsection? That's up to you. That's up to you. If you don't want to do that, well, here's a plan. How do you start getting rid of that spare tire so it's no longer from a 4x4 truck and now it's from a Chevy Impala, and 6 months later it's like a Volkswagen spare tire, and then eventually it's one of those GM little tiny rinky-dink spare tires in the trunk, you know? So you can slowly get rid of that midsection, which is so dangerous for all of us, if you want to. You don't have to be fanatic about it. You just have to learn the lifestyles that really work. And but it's our kids. And that's really where I'm most concerned, is that when parents don't have the right information, they can't make the best choices for their children. And so my goal is to make sure that you have accurate information so that you can make the best choices for yourself and your children.
Sure. Now, can you talk a little bit about you know, the fact that everything that's labeled gluten-free, you know, how the food industry gets, you know, catches these fads and then they just start advertising gluten-free, gluten-free. I mean, I actually saw a sign that said gluten-free next to broccoli. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
But, you know, all gluten-free products are not necessarily healthy. They put all kinds of crap in it to make it taste good because it has no wheat. Can you talk a little bit about how people can substitute gluten in a healthful way so that they're not ingesting other artificial crap?
Once you decide to go gluten-free, let's say every day on your way to work, you stop at the local coffee shop, you get a coffee and a blueberry muffin, and that's your breakfast. Not a healthy breakfast, but maybe that's the habit that you develop. Now you're determined to go gluten-free, so you go there in the morning and you order your coffee. You aren't going to get that blueberry muffin. Okay, and you look at it, you say, oh, that looks really good, but no, I'm not going to do it. You have your coffee and you go to work. Next morning you go in, you order your coffee, you look over that case, boy, those look good, but no, I'm not going to do it. And you've got willpower, and so you're doing great with the willpower. Now, one day you walk in there, you order your coffee, and here's a sign, gluten-free blueberry muffins. You say, oh, I can eat that. It's healthy for me. As a matter of fact, I can have two. They're healthy. No, they're not. They're not healthy in the least. It's white paste. It's just a bunch of crap. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a little treat once in a while, like a gluten-free blueberry muffin. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't fool yourself into thinking it's healthy for you. It's going to give you vitamins and minerals and polyphenols and antioxidants that are going to help protect you and have a stronger body. Nope, it's not going to do any of that. It's just white paste that is a detriment food. It's an inflammatory food. It just doesn't have wheat in it to activate your immune system to fight wheat. So as long as you are calling it straight and understanding, there's nothing wrong with having a little treat once in a while like that. If there's foods you're sensitive to and there's a treat available that doesn't have that sensitive food in it, okay, who cares? I personally, my policy is somewhere around once every 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I'll have one of those kinds of treats. You know, I just give myself a break. And someone who is eating that stuff every day, maybe you start by having it once every 3 days or 4 days. And then you can say, and then down the road, it's once every week and then once every 2 weeks. And once you've gotten to that stage, then you can trust yourself and say, you know what, I'll just have it when I feel like it. And not that you eat wheat again, but you eat the wheat-free products. I'll just have one of those. Now, like wheat-free pasta. Everybody likes pasta, or most people like pasta, and they miss not having spaghetti anymore or different types of pasta. So you see the rice-based stuff or the quinoa or amaranth-based stuff, and you order that. And that's pretty good. I can handle that. And so we eat that pasta regularly. Once again, though, it's only white paste. There's no nutrient or very little nutrient in those foods. So ideally, you just don't eat much of those kinds of things. You know, you have a little rice once in a while if you want to, a little rice pasta if you want to once in a while. But mainly, what we recommend our people transition towards is a lot of vegetables, at least a pound of vegetables a day, 5 different colors. Don't just eat a bag of carrots. You know, have some carrots and some purple cabbage and some red tomatoes and things like that. So a pound of vegetables a day, quality meats, no lunch meats, no cheap meat, like have chicken, grass-fed beef, free-range chickens, fish, wild fish, not farm-raised fish, some nuts and seeds on occasion, a little bit of fruit, and maybe some rice once in a while, or quinoa. Quinoa's a good grain. So it's not difficult to transition over as long as you're patient with yourself. Just give your, if it takes you 6 months, who cares? If it takes you 6 months, but 6 months from now you've got this down really well, you're good to go for the rest of your life.
Uh-huh. And how long does it usually take people to see some sort of result if they follow your protocol?
3 days.
Really?
3 days. We say, yeah. We say give it 3 weeks, but if you follow our protocol and you just go right into it, in 3 days, you notice that you're feeling a little different, sleeping a little better, energy's up, headaches a little less, joints are not as sore, whatever it should be. But 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, you'll just notice it very quickly. And we say, you know, realistically, because some people are really locked into a degenerative situation, give it 3 weeks. Give us 3 weeks and we'll change your life. And I think the title of the chapter is 3 weeks to change your life. But most people notice they feel different in a few days.
Wow. Wow, that's really quick. I would not expect that. And with your work, have you seen that, most people not only feel better, but they, I mean, you talk about a lot of times people losing weight from this diet, and I know that's, you know, something that so many people are concerned about. Does that come off with just by changing, you know, reducing the or cutting out gluten and dairy from your diet?
Yes, my friend Dr. Bill Davis wrote a great book called Wheat Belly a number of years ago, about 6-7 years ago. And he explains the mechanisms in there of why people shed weight when they go wheat-free. And not everyone does, but those that need to usually do. And they can lose 7 pounds, 8 pounds, 10 pounds in a month without counting calories. Over the course of 3 months, 15, 20 pounds. You know, if they're packing a 4x4 spare tire around their midsection, it slowly starts to come off. So people that have a weight concern usually notice that their weight tends to head down within a couple of weeks. They notice it very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And where are you actually located? Where's your practice?
I don't see patients anymore. So I'm in Southern California now. I spent 30 years in Chicago and finally moved out to Southern California a few years ago. I travel and teach doctors, and we have online education for parents and patients. So there's lots of information. It's a lot of free information on our site, thedr.com. You can get a great deal of information there so that you can find the right direction.
People can order your book right on Amazon and probably through your website too, correct?
My suggestion is you go to our website to order the book, and it gives you the link to Amazon. But if you go to the website to order the book, there's a bunch of handouts you get also for free. You just download them right away, and they help you with concepts in the book. It's some added information I put together after the book was published. So if you go to thedr.com and you order the book from there, it takes you right to Amazon, but then we'll say, here's some handouts for you to download.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Tom, thank you so much. Your information is great. I haven't completely finished the book, but it's really fascinating and I'm motivated. So I will report back to all of you how I'm doing. But it's really been great. Thank you so much for joining us. And everyone listening, thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.